I believe Jesus is coming soon too. I hope you feel the same way. At least I hope you live your life like he could come back even today. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter number 27. 1 Samuel chapter number 27. We're going to continue on in our series through 1 Samuel tonight. And here we're going to look for a second at 1 Samuel chapter number 26. A few months ago on a Sunday evening, we preached a passage out of 1 Samuel chapter 26 talking about chasing fleas. And we're not going to spend much time in 1 Samuel chapter 26. We're going to kind of bypass that and go right into chapter number 27. In chapter number 26, David once again spares Saul's life. He gets the opportunity. They're actually out on a camp, and they're out there, and the Lord sent a very strong and deep sleep over Saul, who had been chasing after David, and his 3,000 chosen men that were going out there chasing after David and chasing after David's group. And there was a strong, deep sleep that fell over the men. And David and one of his soldiers kind of walks down and takes the spear and takes the cruse of water. You're probably familiar with the story. But the purpose is that David spares his life once again. Shows him mercy. Shows him grace. And this is the chapter where Saul says he's played the fool. He tells David to come on back. He won't do him any harm. Things like that. And here in chapter number 27, we see a different side of David. Now, not often do we see many things in the story of David's life that you can maybe be a little critical of, or you say, boy, I see where David messed up here. But tonight, it's one of those chapters. And we don't like to see our heroes like this. We don't like to see people we look up to like this. But there's also a reassuring factor here, is that David goes through this, and David goes and he actually joins the enemy camp for a little while. He goes and joins up with the Philistines. He feels like he has no other choice. He feels like he has no other hope. And he goes and he lives in the land of the Philistines. But the thing that encourages me that even after all this, David's still called a man after God's own heart. For a little while there, he does stray away. He does get what I consider backslidden. And even during this passage of time, you don't see any of the Psalms attributed to him during this time when he's in this Philistine land. I believe this sweet singer of Israel has had his voice silenced because he made a bad decision. That's actually the title of tonight's message, is David Makes a Bad Decision. Pretty simply put, this is what David does. He makes a choice. He makes it under the wrong circumstances. But I think that we can see ourselves in this story a little bit. David gets depressed. David's doing the best he can, and David's going out, and he's living for the Lord, and because of this, this has sent him on a very, very hard journey. His king and the chosen soldiers are out there hunting him like a dog. You say, well, that means God's not taking care of him. David had to take matters into his own hands. Well, if you read the story, God miraculously, over and over, spares David. And David has victory after victory. I tell you, it is a narrow pathway that we are on. But that narrow pathway means that we follow God and let God lead us and let God guide and direct our ways. And as we let God lead and direct our ways, God will direct us right through some of the darkest times, right through some of the skinniest and most dangerous points. But as we follow and keep our eyes on him, he will protect us. Like we talked about before, the one time when Saul and all his men had David surrounded, and how they were on one side of the mountain and Saul surrounded it. And just at that moment in time, just right in the nick of time when they were getting ready to overtake David, right before the battle, what happens? A messenger comes and Saul has to leave. That's not by coincidence. That's God leading David through all this. Well, David gets a little disappointed here. And in chapter number 27, you see that he begins talking to someone, and he's so often used to talking to God about his needs. In chapter 27, he talks to someone else. David said in his heart, means he went and talked to himself. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. So David has come to the conclusion that there is nothing better for him but to go to the world. We know the Philistines here is a picture of the world. He is going to the enemy. He is going to the other side. He says, look, there is nothing better for me. I had that underlined in my Bible. And sometimes when a Christian feels like they can't go on, sometimes when they get disappointed, they feel like there's nothing better for them than to just give up and just give in and do whatever it is that their heart tells them to do. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for to be able to come to this service. Thank you for the people that are here. Lord, we do miss those that are away, those that are sick, and Lord, those that might be out for one reason or another. But Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that we are able to come around your word. Lord, I pray that it be a fruitful night, that each of us take something out of this story, and Lord, from your word, and understand some new principle, or Lord, be reassured of something, and Lord, that we do have something better to live for, that we don't have to give up. Even though it might get dark, even though it might get hard, even though it might seem overwhelming, we can live for you. And Lord, you will lead and direct us. Give us encouragement tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. David throws in the towel here. First thing I want you to see is the reasons for David's decision. The reasons for David's decision. Remember, David's not out there by himself. David has 600 mighty men with him. He has his own little entourage. But not only them, but he has his family too. So if he got 600 and they got their wives there, and we know David has two wives, and if there's some children there, you're looking at possibly 3,000 people that David is trying to take care of in the wilderness. You can imagine that could become pretty hard to deal with, trying to feed them and trying to take care of them, all in the process of being on the run from Saul. This can become an overwhelming circumstance. And here we see David week after week and chapter after chapter and verse after verse depending on God, and God just delivering him, miraculously taking care of him. But here in chapter 27, we see that David makes a different decision. And I want you to see the reasons for David's decision. First of all, I want you to understand is David trusted the wrong confidant or the wrong thing. David trusted the wrong thing. David here is having a picture of him, of a conversation with himself. Instead of turning to God, like we read about so often in the Psalms that he encourages us to do, he instead looks into his own heart and has to hear what his heart has to say. David turns to himself for counsel, and the advice he receives is from no one else but himself. Hey, Pastor, what's wrong with that? Well, the Bible teaches us that in Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Pastor, what do you mean? I can't trust my own heart? Well, the Bible even goes as far as saying your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's not just about how you feel. Now, remember, David's saying here that he has no other choice. It says, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Not only was it trusting the wrong thing, he believed this wrong counsel. He believed what his heart had to say. He believed what his heart was telling him. He said, look, that one day I'm going to perish by the hand of Saul. But we don't need to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and learn what Samuel did. What did Samuel do? Samuel anointed him to be king. God had given him a promise that someday he was going to reign on the throne of Israel, and that someday he was going to be the leader and the king. And here, not only was it by Samuel, but Jonathan said the same thing and confirmed it. Even Saul in the last chapter says, I know that you're going to be king. Abigail confirms this. Over and over, God sends people and sends things and situations to reaffirm this and say, hey, look, you are going to be king someday. But David goes into his own heart. He sees his circumstances, and instead of looking to God, he says, well, how do I feel about it? What's my flesh telling me I should do? I got these 3,000 people that I have to take care of that are depending on me. What am I going to do? What do I feel like? And this is how he feels. He says, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. He's saying that even though God said one thing, this is what's going to happen. He becomes depressed. You ever been there? You ever become disappointed? I mean, you ever get overwhelmed and you just feel like, man, nothing is going right. There's no way this is ever going to happen. There's no way this is ever going to work out. I know what God says, but I just can't see it. I just can't understand how God can get glory out of this. And we say, I can't imagine why David, when God did all these things for him, would feel this way. He had a low time in his life. He had a low point. And I think we all would be familiar with that if we were honest. There's been times in our life where we just say, it's just not worth it. There's nothing here for me, is what we'll say. And that's what it's saying here. There's nothing better for me. He was saying, I know what God's plan is, but there's just nothing there for me anymore. You ever felt like that at church? Sometimes people get they not only did they trust the wrong things, and not only did they come to the wrong conclusions, come to listen to the wrong counsel, but they come to the wrong conclusions. They turn around and they say things like, there's nothing here at this church for me. The church is dead. The people don't like me anyway. God's not being fair to me. I'd be better off staying home, or if I went somewhere else. The preacher's mean. We're really missing out. There's nothing at all for me at the house of God. See, people get depressed sometimes, and they get discouraged, and they make statements like that. And that's what their heart tells them. The heart tells them the devil is really good at making you feel miserable. The devil's really good at propping things up. The devil's really good at bringing things and other people into your lives. Just trying to reassure and say things like, oh yeah, just go ahead and trust your heart. Listen to your heart. But when they give you that advice, it's totally against what the Bible says. Listen to what God has in store for you. Now, how does God speak? Yes, he speaks through a small still voice. He speaks through his word. He speaks through preaching. He said, well, how can you determine that between your heart and between what you think you're hearing from God? Well, they're not going to contradict one another. Here, when David's saying that someday he was going to die, and that someday he was, the only choice he had was to go to the Philistines, that was contradicting God. That was not God. That was him listening to his heart, having confidence in his heart, coming to the wrong conclusions, and the conclusion brought him to the point where it's going to be a dangerous spot. Let's continue on. He says, there's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape unto the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. What David is looking for, he is looking for relief. He is just looking for the burden to be put off. But what he really is looking for is, he's just looking for Satan to stop attacking him. He's just looking for just a little bit of relief, but he's trying to figure out his own way. And that's when we need to learn to look to God more than to looking to our own hearts. We're not going to see it in the story today. We're going to see it in a few chapters now. This decision causes him a lot of heartache in the future. In Ziklag, where they're going to be staying at, someday soon, the people that he had been attacking comes and takes away all his wives, takes away all the children, takes away all their stuff, and leaves and captures them and kidnaps them all. Why did it happen? It's because of the fact he made a wrong decision here. He chose to listen to his heart more than what God. Is it always easy to listen to God? No. Is it your heart sometime yelling to you, just go this way, just do this one time, it's not a big deal? Yes. It tells you that all the time. But the decisions you make, they have consequences. And David's wrong decision, because he listened to his heart and it led him astray. I want you to see the results of David's decision. Pastor, come on. Saul's chasing after him. He's got 3,000 people. What's the big deal? What's the big deal if he goes to the Philistines? He gets to actually be in a city. These men that have been in the wilderness, they get to sit in a house, and they get to actually go somewhere, and they get to see their kids play in the street, and they get to probably grow their own food. They get to do things that were normal. What's so wrong with having a little bit of things? What's so wrong about having a little bit of stuff? I mean, it just seems like it would be nothing wrong with that. I'll say there is nothing wrong with all those things if it's part of what God has in store for you. God has something great planned for these men and David. God is leading him and taking him through, yes, a rough valley, but what God is trying to do is pull away from all their own independence and say, look, you must learn to trust in me alone, and that someday you're going to see why I brought you through all these things. And that's, yeah, David here, yeah, it would make sense that God would allow David, his choice servant, to have something great. But God's teaching him something and showing him something. When Saul attacked came after him that last time, something happened. God, he still had the victory. He still spared Saul. But after the great victory, David turns around and says, I just give up. And Christian, sometimes when you have a great victory, there's going to be a time of discouragement. Let's look at the results of David's decision. Look here in verse number 2. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with him in Achish at Gath, and he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreelite, and Abigail the Carmelite, Nabal's wife. And I want you to see here in verses 2 and 3, the results of David's decision, the people in David's life were affected also. The people in David's life were affected. You see that these 600 men and their households, they went with David. Not only was David making a decision, you say, Pastor, what's the big deal? David's making a decision for himself. He's listening to his own heart. Who's he hurting? He's hurting them. And when we make decisions that are based off our own heart and what we own desire, you know what? Who we're hurting? We're not just hurting ourselves. We're hurting the people that are around us. Everyone's life who you're involved in is touched. You know, if a man makes his decision on his own, his wife and children are touched. It happens here. His wife and his children are stolen from him, kidnapped from him. It's, you know, the decisions you make, they are not only your decisions. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7 says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. What that verse is saying is that every decision we make, it affects other people. And as a husband or as a wife, if you turn around and say, hey, I'm going to listen to myself, I'm going to stop living for God, or I'm just going to start going this way, I'm going to start doing these things, you affect your husband and your wife, and you affect your children. You even affect your church family. You affect other people. Your lives do make a difference. And David here is a perfect example. He is the leader. These men have seen him do miraculous things. These men have seen God work and move in their lives. And they're following David to the end. And David makes his decision. Let's go to the Philistines. And they follow him. They believe in him. They trust in him. But see, David's no longer following after God. He's following his heart. And Christian, it does affect those that are around you. I want you to remember that. When you want to listen to your heart, when you want to get away from God, guess what you're going to do? You're going to take those people that are around you down with you. When you compromise, you're going to cause those that are around you to compromise. And that's what David's doing here. He's leaving God's land, God's people, God's timing, God's will to do what? To go somewhere where he just wants a little bit of relief. He wants a little bit of safety. Just wants a break. Something his heart is telling him it's okay for him to have. But if God's not telling him that, you know who he's going to hurt? He's going to hurt his family. Doesn't it remind you of another story? Remind us of when we went to Ruth and we talked about how Ruth's father-in-law, how Naomi's husband made this decision. Remember how he was in Bethlehem and this is the place of bread. And when they were having a famine, what did he decide to do? He decided to get up and take his family. He made a dangerous choice. His dangerous choice, so when he came over to Moab, what did it do? It brought damaging consequences. You know who left to go back to Israel someday? Wasn't the dad, it wasn't the two sons, it was Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. It was a damaging consequence that this man had made for his sons and for his wife, and they all suffered. Why is that? Because he listened to his heart. His heart said, go, you deserve to have bread. You deserve to have a little bit of an easy life. You deserve to have things simple. There's no reason for you to have to go through all this stress and all this trouble and all this heartache and all this hardship. But, you know, over in Bethlehem, there was Boaz that stayed. And what did God do? God blessed Boaz beyond measure, all measure. Even put him in the line of Christ. He stayed. He didn't listen to his heart. I mean, if Elkanah wanted to leave, if he wanted to leave, you know, Boaz, I'm sure, thought his heart was telling him the same thing. Now, Christian, yes, your heart might say, hey, go ahead. Take the easy way out. You deserve it. Nobody else is going through it. But when you listen to your heart, you stop listening to God. And there's results to that. First of all, the people in David's life were affected. David's life itself was affected. I want you to read this story, read this chapter a little bit with me. And I want you to see the type of individual David comes. Type of individual that David becomes. Here, look in verse number 4. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. So he got what he desired. And don't get me wrong, Christian. Sometimes when you go to look for that relief, you're going to get what you desire for a little while. Satan's good at making things look good for a little bit. You know, when you leave to go to another church, or when you go spend some money in some other way, or, you know, it can look good. Things can be good for a little while. When you choose to walk away from God, there is a little bit of pleasure there. It is going to look a little bit better for a little while. But we're going to have to see what happens in David's life here. And David said unto Achish, you know, once again, I want you to picture David, the man after God's own heart. I want you to picture that young boy that's sitting out there who gets disgusted at Goliath. This man comes and ridicules his God. And what does he do? He is so angry at Goliath, he says, I'll go and fight the giant. But see how much he's changed from there to then. Now he is going and begging to the king of the Philistines. saying, please, let me have a piece of land. Please, take care of me. The place he used to disdain, the place that he knew was idolatrous, the place he knew that had false gods and hated his God that he loved, he goes and asks them for help. What's that a picture of? It's when we leave God's best and we leave God's leading and we go to the place that hates our God and hates the things that we should hold precious, which is the world. And that's all David is doing. He's leaving God's leading and leading to his, letting his heart lead him to the world and lead him to the things that are not. So let's see what he aligns here. Verse number 5, he literally aligns with the enemy. And that's what we do when we get into the world. What we're doing is we're aligning with the world. We're aligning with the enemy. We're aligning with the devil. And we're aligning when we get away from God. We're joining up. And David said unto Achish, if I have found grace in thine eyes, let me give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. And why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? So he's asking a favor from the enemy. Verse number 6, Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. So remember, as I said before, these 16 months was a time of a dark time in David's life. David here in verses 8 through 12, you'll see he's not acting like a man after God's own heart. He's acting like a backslidden man. He's lying. He is murdering. He is stealing and doing all these different things. And he's not doing what he would never have done before. Verse number 8, and David said, and David and his men went up and invaded the Gergeshites and the Gerizzites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old inhabitants of the land, as thou goest ashore, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, and the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Now, he goes, and he begins destroying these nations. And Achish said, whither have you made a road today? And the king's asking, you know, what have you been doing? See, these people in verse number 9 and verse number 8, there are people who are alliance with the Philistines. They're friends of the Philistines. The reason why he had to kill all the men and women so no one would go back and tell Achish what he's doing. So he's doing things deceitfully. And here he lies to him and he says, where did you make the road today? And David said, against the south of Judah. He's saying, look, I'm going and attacking the Israelites. I'm going taking the Israelites and taking things from them. He's lying. And against the south of the Jerahmeelites and against the south of the Kenites. And David said, neither man or woman alive to bring tidings to Gath. He's saying there, he killed everybody that was there. And the reason why is because he didn't want them to come back and tell the king, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever. He's caused all these lies and all these deceitfulness to cause his king to believe him. And they gave him this piece of land. And this is not the man after God's own heart. This is not the way that he treats even his enemies, even when he becomes king. Killing all the men, killing all the women, you know, killing defenseless even. That's not the way he does things. Now, why is that? Where's the change at? Well, start it back when the day after, or we don't know how much time, after that great victory, the devil came to him and says, David, you don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve to have Saul chasing you all these days and all these months and all these years. You're never going to get to become king. Why don't you take your wife, take your kids, and go over to a place that's safe where you can raise your family and just be happy? What's wrong with that? Well, see, he listened to his heart where God was telling him and sending him out on this journey to prepare him. See, the journey to Jerusalem took him to Ziklag. He had to go through these things to be that king. Once again, I want to remind you, during this time period, David's not right with God. There is no Psalms during this time period. There is no closeness to God. There is no love of God. And when you get depressed and you walk away from God, you know what's going to happen? Your love for him is going to diminish. Oh, I mean, we can act like it. I'm sure David, in front of his people, just like he did after he committed that sin with Bathsheba, for a whole year he still led the praises, and he still took part of the sacrifices. We can act like we love God, but he can't worship God there. Just like in Moab, he couldn't worship. Their family couldn't worship there. They couldn't serve the same sacrifices. Sacrifices are supposed to be back somewhere else. They weren't able to live and serve God. And David here listens to his heart. So the first thing I want to show you, the reasons. The reasons why is because he trusted the wrong thing. He trusted his heart and not God. Second thing, I want you to see the results. It changed David. It changed who he was. And put his children and his wives and these 600 other men who trusted in him. It affected them. It does affect people. The way you live your life affects people. You might want to hear it. You might not want to hear it. You might get tired of hearing it. But decisions you make affects other people. And third thing I want you to see is the relief of David's decision. The relief of David's decision. He said, Pastor, what do you mean by the relief? I mentioned already, he got what he wanted. He got his safety for 16 months. But at what cost? At what cost? See, there's a difference between living for short-term things and long-term things. There's a difference between living for a short-term relief. Yes, it may be easier not to go to church that much. It may be easier not to raise your kids right. There is easier ways. There is a short-term way of doing things. It might be easier. Now, how much is, you get the kid that's whining and crying and lying. We've seen them before, haven't we? Hopefully, it might have been some of our kids. You know, they see the candy there. They put it there on purpose. And you got the kid there, and they're sitting there whining and complaining. But I want candy. I want that. And you're turning around, and you're thinking, people behind you are thinking, man, that kid needs something, and it's not a piece of candy. But you're sitting there, and you're embarrassed. You're embarrassed because this kid is going crazy. What's the easy short-term answer? Give the kid the candy. Shut him up. That's the easy thing, right? Is that the best thing? No, it ain't. We all know it's not. But that's the same thing here, what was happening with David. You know, it was easy to go to the enemy. It was easy to go to the world. It was easy not to trust God. It's always going to be easier. But at what cost? Here in a few chapters, you're going to see that David, his whole family is kidnapped. Not only his whole family, all the 600 men's family, they're all kidnapped, taken by the Amorites. In Ziklag, their whole city is burned down. This thing that they thought was relief was burned down. Christian, when Jesus Christ came to this world, he didn't take short-term cuts. He didn't do things short-term. He did things long-term. He came to die for us. He paid the ultimate price. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. He was doing something that was going to be long-term, and this is what we need to live our lives like. We need to make decisions that are based off of long-term successes. You know, some of us are on a diet this new year. And some of us, you know, short-term things, long-term things. You know, a good, true diet is something that is a long-term, and you make lifetime choices. It's not just changing things for just a little while to try to get, it's making a life. Yeah, you might get a little bit of relief, and you might get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But long-term decisions is what we need to live for. When you're investing and when you're spending money and things like that, oh, yes, it would be so much easier to just go out and spend a little bit now and, you know, put things on credit or do all these different things. But long term, at what cost? In the end, you're going to be in debt and you're going to do these other, it's going to mess your life up. And that's what David chooses. David, in a moment of depression, makes an unwise decision. He says, there's nothing else here for me. If you read what he, the way it was, there is nothing better for me than to go back to the world. That's what he's saying. Think about it. Think about it in the moments of weakness, in the moment of times, where are you going to turn? Think about the man that takes a drink of alcohol, a recovering addict. He's there and he's doing so well. A few months later, and he takes a drink of alcohol, you're like, oh, that's so sad. But you know what he got? He got relief, but it was only for a short while. What about the person that's trying to quit drugs instead of turning to God? You know what they do? They take a little bit of the drug to be able to get some relief. That's what the devil is trying to do. And the devil's good at it. The devil will have something there in your life. The devil will always have the Achish. The devils will always have the Philistines. The devils will always have the boats that are going to Tarshish. The devils will always have the different people that will cause and give you an opportunity to sin. The devil will always have somebody there waiting for you, a world to turn back to. But what type of relief is it going to be? Is it going to be a short-term relief or a long-term relief? The devil lines up one temporary relief after another, after another, after another. Why don't you try this? Why don't you run with this crowd? This church stuff is getting under your skin anyway. It's more fun to run with the devil's crowd for a while because there's pleasure of sin in the season. But what does it do in the end? It ruins your life. So, Christian, what are you listening to tonight? Well, my heart tells me this. This is something I had to learn, and something my wife had to learn. We used to, and when we were going through all this and trying to go into the ministry a number of years ago, and we were trying to make decisions, reading the Bible and learning the Bible, and the question we liked to used to ask each other was, well, my heart feels this way. Is it wrong for me to say what I feel? The answer is, if it's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter what your heart says. It doesn't matter how you feel. If it's against the Bible, it's wrong. And the heart's deceitful. And that the day I grasp a hold of that, now do I always obey that? No. I wish I would. But the day I learn and grab a hold of that, that it's just because I feel a certain way doesn't make it right. It doesn't mean I have to do what I feel. I need to do what the Bible tells me to do. Here's the tragedy. It is only a temporary relief. And we've placed ourselves in God's hands so many times here in David's life. He placed himself in God's hands so many times, and God delivered him time after time after time. But he's gotten to the point in a weak moment. Instead of turning to God, he turned to himself. You ever had a conversation with yourself? I've had conversations with myself all the time. Nobody else will listen to me. Nobody else will answer me. So I'll talk to myself and answer myself. But it's not always based off of trying to feel how I feel about things. That's what David does. Man who was known for being after God, listening to God, obeying God, praying for God, seeking God. You know what happens? He asks himself, what should I do? I want to encourage you tonight. David made a bad mistake. And this bad mistake did involve 3,000 people. This bad mistake did involve him going over to the world. This bad mistake had everlasting consequences. You say, I'm not going to make that type of decision. You know how you make that decision is by making the little ones, by saying, oh, I know what I'm supposed to do, but my heart says this. And you're going to be able to reason it out. And I tell you, I fight with this and the idea, well, is it really this wrong, or what's wrong with this? Let's be close to the Bible. Let's not listen to ourselves. Let's listen to God. The reasons why David's decision, he obeyed. He obeyed himself instead of God. He listened to his heart. The results of it. I don't know the results that all those 3,000 people had. But I tell you, when you mess around the world, someone's going to get hurt. Lots of times it's the young people. But we see the relief that he got. It was just a short-term relief. It helped him. For those 16 months, he felt secure. He felt happy. He felt on top of the world, probably. But he forgot all about God. And then when his family is taken away, all his possessions are burned, you know what he does? He grabs a hold of the ephod. He goes back to seeking God. If he would never left that, then God would have been able to work and do things in his life. But because he listened to his heart, instead of listening to God, he had to learn the hard way. That's what many times we had to learn, is through the hard way. But why do we want to keep on sacrificing things to get temporary pleasure or temporary relief? Let's be in it for the long haul. Let's be in it to do what God wants us to do and trust him instead of our heart. Let's go ahead and pray.